finish up Acts chapter 15. Kind of a transitional period between chapter 15 and 16. So if you have your Bible, we'll open up. Go ahead and get there. There's just a few verses we're going to look at together this morning. You know, colleges all across the country spend enormous amounts of money recruiting athletes to play different sports. And all different kinds of sports. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's basketball or football or softball or run track. All different kinds of sports, they spend enormous amounts of money. And Holly and Hayden and I just went to a university a few weeks ago that to talk to them about her attending that school and got to visit with a couple of coaches. And one of the head coaches told us that, you know, usually he's 2 to 3 years out, he's already watching and looking and going to watch them play and all of that to get ready to offer them a scholarship. You think, why? Seriously, why does someone spend all this time, all this energy, all these monies for this? Well, a coach has to put together the right team in order to win. And when you realize the kind of money that's involved in those things, you've got to win or you're not going to have a job very long. And when you realize that some of the coaches nowadays are making $4 million, $5, $6, $7, $8 million a year to coach sports, it's a big business. And so they use everything at their disposal to get together the right team. Now, you know as well as I do, it's not just about talent. Physical native ability to be able to run fast, throw a ball a long way, do those kinds of things. There are a lot of athletes that are gifted physically, but that are not a good team person. Matter of fact, some of them you call it just a cancer almost to the team because they're more of a detriment than they are to as a help to that team. So there are a lot of different factors. You want people that are talented. You want people that have a passion for your goals, for your team, to help everyone. You want someone that's got a lot of character to help out on that team, to make the team right. We went to watch a movie last night called Wonder. Anybody seen that movie? If you haven't, I don't know that I've ever said this from a pulpit before, but if you have not seen that movie, you need to go see that movie. Especially if you have kids, you need to take them and watch that movie. There are a lot of really good things in that movie. The principles in that movie are amazing. And you're talking about a young boy who has some deformities, and he's had to go through a lot of surgeries and all of these things, and he's been kept away from the public because when you see someone whose face isn't right, what is the first thing that happens when people see them? Especially children. They start asking questions and they start pointing and looking and all of those things that come along with those. That thought process. But as I'm watching, I don't want to give the movie away to you. I'm not going to spoil anything. But he, in the middle of going to school for the very first time, he's confronted with a lot of different kids. And who do you become friends with? Who are your real friends? Who are those people that you can depend upon? Who are those people that are going to make sure that you're okay? And when you're struggling, they're going to be there for you. And all of those kinds of things that are happening, and he's struggling in the middle of this dilemma. What do I do? And do I even go to school? He didn't want to go to school. His mom said, yeah, you're going to school. And then he says, I love. And then he says, I hate. And he goes through all of these issues. And in the end, he has finally made a friend or two that are beneficial in his life. And I think about the principles of life in that movie and how much they relate to us in this world today. And you think about being a member of a team, and that's the simple title this morning, choosing our team. What kind of team have you chosen in your life to be a part of? So let's look at the end of Acts chapter 15. And it says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now we know that they finished their first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas have gone and they've preached to a lot of people, converted many people to Christ. And in Antioch, they were having some issues, and so they left Antioch, and they went back to Jerusalem to talk to the elders and the apostles and all those that are there, and they work out a lot of things, and they actually even helped the church there in Jerusalem to become a better team, more focused on the things that they're all about. And then they go back to Antioch to deliver that message to them, the question, the answer to the questions that they ask: do we keep the law? Is this something extra to Christ? Do we need the law also? And so they go back and they begin teaching and preaching, and they take some others with them, and they help the church in Antioch. And then we get to this point where it says, all right, let's go. Barnabas, they're partners, they're a team. And they've been all over the world together. They've been preaching and teaching and converting people and sharing the message all over the world. And now they're ready to go on their second journey together. And he says, let's do it. Let's go together. And so they've already got this team together. And it's not just the two of them. There were others with them previously. And they're going to take some more with them again. But they're getting ready to go. And they've laid it out. Here's what we need to do. We need to go back to all those churches, all those cities that we've been to. And we need to check on them and see how they're doing. We need to edify them. We need to build them up. We need to do all the things that God wants us to do with those brethren. And so they're ready to go. They're going to go back. And I think they probably, I'm certain, have sat down together and said, what all do we need to make sure is going on when we get to this city and this city and this city and these? He said, we need to check on their faithfulness. How are you doing? What struggles have you found that have come up in your life since you became a child of God? When you left those worldly things and you were doing all those other things over there, and you left that and you became a Christian, what things are you finding you're struggling with the most? What questions do you have? Because we know they have them, right? We even have them today. We have questions about our faith today, just like they did. And so Paul and Barnabas, I'm sure, are spending a lot of time together talking about those very things. What are we going to address when we get there? What if they have questions like Antioch did? What if they are, and on those things go? We need to encourage them. We need to find out what things they're still struggling with. What cultural things maybe we didn't even understand at the time. What can we address while we're there? Where's their leadership now? It's maybe been a couple of years since we've been to this church. And how are you doing on maturing men in your church to be leaders? What are you struggling with? And so they're going to go back and they're discussing all those things, and they know what's laid out. They know what they're wanting to accomplish when they go back on this second journey. Now, with all of those things, they start talking about who they're taking with them. And they know that they don't need any novices to go. It's not someone that's a brand new baby Christian that's going to go on this journey with them, because that's probably not the place to really begin training like that. So they don't really need someone but they need someone that's going to be able to stand up under pressure. Someone who's going to be able to be faithful. Someone who's strong enough in their faith when they're questioned by all these other people in all these cities, that they're going to be able to answer those questions. So they begin organizing and trying to get this team together, and they start talking about who's going to go with them. And then in verse 37, it says Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. Now, you get two people that are really close. Men that have served together for several years, who've gone all over the world preaching and making a difference all across the land. And they're trying to put together a team to go and do what God wants them to do, to be faithful. And they disagree. Can you ever remember a time when you disagreed with someone on some team that you were part of? And you start thinking about, you know, maybe you still have the same goal out there, but you're looking at it from two different angles, and how do you get from here to there? And if we are two totally opposed at the way we're going to get there, are we benefiting each other? And so Paul is saying, we can't take him because he's already quit on us once. We don't need that. We don't need someone to babysit. And I can see Barnabas saying, no, you don't understand. A lot of things have changed in his life. A lot of things. He's grown up. I've been talking to him. I've been working with him. There are a lot of things going on that maybe you don't even understand. Paul goes, I don't care. I don't have time for him. I'm not going to babysit. And so they start struggling. Maybe if you were coaching a team, or maybe you had two different philosophies, can you imagine, and I always think, I'm sorry about the analogies, but football, if you had two guys wanting to run the offense, and one wanted to throw the ball with all these different receivers, and the other said, I'm not passing at all. All I want to do is run the ball, play after play after play, they would be butting heads, wouldn't they? And where would they, ever be able to accomplish the goal that they were wanting? They would be disunified. Now, what is the goal of both of them? To win a game, to win a championship, to do all those things. Well, their goals are the same, so we're not talking about Paul and Barnabas are disagreeing about what they're wanting to accomplish, but just how they get there. And so, it says that they argued with each other, and it became such a sharp disagreement that they decided to part company. And it says, Barnabas decided to take John Mark with him. And Paul looks out and sees, who can I take with me? And he chooses Silas. And we know a little bit about Silas because Silas was in Jerusalem and he brought him along. The elders and the apostles sent him along with Judas with them among other men back to Antioch. And it says that Silas stayed there with them in Antioch to help teach and reprove and do all the things that he needed to do. And Paul's watching him all along. And Paul is looking at this man going, this is the one I want on my team. Why? Because he thinks like I do. He's willing to jump in, do the things that I need him to do, or he needs to do, for this team to be successful. For us to go back and do all the things that we need to do, so they select their team. Now again, I want to reiterate that neither Paul nor Barnabas made a matter of faith or disfellowship out of this decision or this disagreement with one another. They're still trying to bring about the kingdom of God and God ruling in their lives. But aren't you grateful that there are men like Barnabas who may disagree with you and are willing to grab those people who maybe you've been struggling in their faith and say, hey, John Mark, you're coming with me. I believe in you. How many people in your life ever tell you, I believe in you, and encourage you to a point to maybe one day you decide, hey, you know what, I can't teach a Bible class. Can you remember the first time those of you have ever taught? Can you remember the first time you ever did it? How did you feel? I can still remember the very first time I got up in front of a group of people and spoke at church on a Wednesday night. There was about 250 people there. And 30 seconds after I was finished, I could not have told you a single solitary word that I said. I don't know how loud my knees were knocking together. I don't know any of those things. I sat down and happy and said, you did such a good job. And I did. What did I say? But I had a lot of people encouraging me to be faithful and to do many different things. And I remember my elders there at Eastside as an older teenager saying, we need you to teach a class.
class?
To class.
I'm only like 17 years old.
Yeah, but we think you're ready. Here's the material we want you to cover. Here are the things we want you to do. I'm like, are you sure? I don't know that I can do this. But I'm so grateful that there were some Barnabases in my life who encouraged me to do the things that I needed to do, or at least to step out in faith and be challenged. Now, does everybody need to be a teacher? No, that's not what I'm saying. But we all need to be encouraged to be faithful to get our life to the end of where it needs to be. Now, Paul has chosen Silas. And Silas has known to him. He's watched him. He's ready to take him along and they begin going. And you know, immediately in chapter 16, they're going to meet someone else. They're going to meet Timothy. And Paul later is going to be addressed him as his child in the faith. And they're going to build a relationship, but that's for another Sunday, maybe next Sunday. But he loves Timothy. And I think about the end of Paul's life when he's talking to Timothy and saying to Timothy, he says, you know, Timothy, I'm at the end of my life. And he's looking back over the team that maybe he's been a part of to do what God has asked him to do. And he looks back and he says, Timothy, I finished my course. And God's going to award me a crown of righteousness. I have been successful with the team that I've been a part of, accomplishing what God wanted me to accomplish in my life. Now, Paul grows a lot in his life. And you think about all the things that Paul and Silas are going to go through, and all the places they're going to see, and all the other relationships like Timothy that they're going to build, and the team that they're going to be a part of for the rest of their life. And even at some point in his life, Paul is going to acknowledge John Mark as being someone that he can use. All because Barnabas encouraged him to be a part of a team that maybe he would have been left out. And so when we look around you this morning, how much encouragement do you get from this church? From the people that you selected to be in your life, to be faithful to God's call? How are we faithful? Now, Paul has chosen well his team. And he knows that the end, as I just mentioned to you in 2 Timothy, he knows the end is coming in his life. And all the things that he's accomplished, all the things that he's done, is because he's chosen well those people who are in his life. Now, maybe he missed out on John Mark. Maybe he missed out on some things because he didn't finish that teamwork with Barnabas like they were going. I don't know about those things. But I know that he was faithful. God said, I want you to do these things. He did them. And he was very, very intentional about the people he put in his life. And so I fast forward to us today. And the application of this, I believe, is very, very important in our life. Who is it that we've chosen in our life to be the team of people helping us accomplish our goal? And what is that goal? First off, if we don't even know what the goal is, how can we ever organize and put a team around us? It'd be kind of silly to go out and put a football team together if you were going to play softball, wouldn't it? This wouldn't work out real well. So you've got to know what you're trying to do in this life. What are you trying to accomplish in this life? And is it faithfulness to be on that last day to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Is that our goal in this life, is to get to heaven? If that's our ultimate goal, then how do we get there? And you're not going to go there alone. So it's going to be you and those people around you that are going to help you get there. Who have you put in your life to help you get to that place? And we're all at different points in our life, physically and by age. But it starts first and primarily with our goal. And if that goal is heaven, then it starts with Christ, with God, and all that entails, but also with the people around us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. It makes it very clear. You do not bind yourself. You do not get in a covenant relationship with unbelievers. Why? Because they don't have the same goals that you do. And they're going to lead you astray at every turn. They're going to encourage you to go the wrong direction. And when you start thinking about your life, if you're not married, young people, and someday you will be, you're going to choose someone who's going to either help you or is going to hinder you for the rest of your life. And the number one, most important relationship, physically speaking, will be the spouse that you choose for the rest of your life. And Paul says, whatever you do, do not marry an unbeliever. Because when you do, it will hinder you and your goal for the rest of your life. And I've had people argue that with me and say, he's not really talking about marriage. No, he's not specifically talking about marriage there. I understand that. But if you don't think that that is under the umbrella of what he's teaching, you're absolutely wrong. Does God know that the most important physical relationship we'll have is with our spouse? Yes, he does. Does he want you to be faithful in the end and receive that crown? Yes, he does. Does he know that the most powerful thing in your life will be your spouse? Yes, he does. And so, if you think it'll be easy, let me tell you, I've talked with dozens of people who have married unbelievers and said, well, I converted my husband. I converted my wife. Down the road, many years later, I did. I was faithful and I converted them. And I said, how did that work out with your children? Were they a benefit? Or did it put more of a struggle in your life? Did they help you get up and take your children and focus on worshiping God every week? Did they help your kids, encourage them to be faithful to God's Word? Did those things happen in every single instance and every time I've had that conversation, they said, well, as a matter of fact, no, they didn't. Maybe they didn't hinder it. Maybe they allowed us to go, but they never helped us in that relationship. And maybe you're in that kind of relationship. It's not me condemning anything. What I'm saying is we choose the relationships that we have. We choose the team that we're on in this life. And the end result will be based upon who it is that we put in our life around us. God warns us and tries to help us make good decisions. And James 4:4 says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? And the whole point says, look at your friends. Are you friends? And if you're friends with worldly people, you're friends with the world. And if you're friends with the world, then that's hostility towards God. Is that where you want to end up in your life? Hostile with God? At war with God, because when he comes back to welcome his faithful home, you will not be accounted as faithful. Don't do that. Paul thought his life so important that the only thing he could do was put the absolute best people he could. Because he was arrogant? No, because he knew he needed it as well. He needed strong people in his life to help focus him on the goal that was set before him. We're going to get to heaven. We're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to do everything in our life that we need to do to get where we want to be. And I'm going to get to heaven. So the question for you this morning is, you choose a team in your life who's going to get you to your goal. What is your goal? I'll tell you what your goal is. Back up and look at the people in your life, and that'll answer what your goal is. If it's godless people in your life surrounding you, heaven cannot be your goal. Who do we choose on our team? Those who are going to help us, or those who are going to hinder us? Paul may not have been right about John Mark, but he was right about the team he chose. Because at the end he said, I'm going home. And I know I'm going there because I was faithful to everything God asked me to do. And there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. Because I chose the right team to be on. I chose the right team to be around me. We have that opportunity every day of our life to choose the right team to be around us. A team that will encourage us from our marriages to our friendships to all of those things. We need to take very, very seriously the things, the people that we have in our life. Now, I don't know if that sounds harsh. I hope it doesn't. It's supposed to be encouraging. Because I want you to look around you just this morning in this small room. It's not all that big. And there's not a massive amount of people in this room. But there are some good people in this room this morning. How many like-minded people have you chosen within your life to help you get to heaven one day? The crown of righteousness is waiting for us. Just like Paul said, he was receiving it, but not only for him, but for everyone who loved the appearing of our Savior. You loved his appearing. Are you waiting? Is that what you want him to do? Is that your goal? What does it seem that you've chosen to do? Start with Christ. So again, that day will not be saved. Remember his words. Are you taking someone with you? Drag away and take some words. That's your choice. I hope you make it happen. Because we only get one chance. We only get one chance. What is your choice? What's in your chosen one you get here? If it's not the right one, if it's not Christ being centered in that, it's time to change. It's time to change. It's time to say, this is the goal of my life. This is where I want to be. These are the ones who are going to help you get there. Choose one. If we can help in any way this morning, you need to start that life with Christ and begin that team building process right now. You can do that this morning. You can become a child of God this morning. You know, it's very simple. Water's ready. Christ said all you have to do is believe, name Him as the Lord of your life, and be immersed in Him. Put that old life to death. Change that life and allow God to raise you to a new life. And begin doing that process. It's easy to do because He's already done it for us. All we have to do is accept it. Are you ready to accept it? The Lord.